right, coming back again with rule number 7. Where is my cash going? Joel firmly believes that in order to become financially free, you really need to know your numbers. You really need to know your personal financial numbers within your own household. He goes into detail in this module about exactly what you can do to start taking back control of your finances. When you start understanding where is your money going, you're going to be able to make better decisions. And as you make better decisions, you're going to start being able to achieve that financial freedom that much faster. So I'm excited to bring this module to you. So let's dive into rule number 7 is where is my cash going?
Thank you again, Randy, so much for having me. It's really an honor and a pleasure to be here once again. So rule number 7 is, so the first 6 rules are, I will call them spiritual mindset rules of prosperity. And the last 3, so 2/3 of the book of the 9 Money Rules Millionaires Use are mindset and spiritual rules of prosperity. And the last 3 are, I would call them processes or systematizing prosperity and abundance. And so let's get to rule number 7, which is maybe a 4-letter word for some people. It's budgeting. I understand it may be, oh, come on. But I will tell you, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. And so the name of this chapter is called Where's My Cash Going? So I recommend putting together a spreadsheet. And if anybody wants it, just email me at joel@solomore.com. I'll give you my spreadsheet for what I call the budget game. And it's good to think about life as a game. And especially when you're a little stressed about, maybe you're a little stressed about money, your money situation, make it a game. And so we've made the where's my cash going a game, so you can track where your cash is going. And then the game basically is to eliminate any debt over a period of time. And you start out with the smallest amount, and which is an unusual thing because most people will say, you know, cut out the highest interest rate loans first. But I again, go back to the mindset piece and say, if you can eliminate one column quickly, like your smallest debt item, out the balance outstanding is a few $100, get rid of that first. It'll make you feel better and you'll see one column go away and you're like, oh, I'm making progress. It's a mental thing, a subconscious thing. Although another part of this chapter also goes into, is credit good or bad? So I want to address that as well, because a lot of people who come to me have this view that any debt is bad. I literally had a client I was working with this month ask me, because he and his wife got a windfall, if they should use the windfall to pay off their mortgage debt, their mortgage loan. And my first question was, well, what's the interest rate on your mortgage loan? And he said 3%. And I said, well, why would you want to do that? Because if you're investing at a higher return than 3%, that's a better use of that money than paying off that 3% debt. You're earning the spread between, say you can average 10%, which the average stock market investor has done over the last 50 years, versus 3%. If you pay off, if you put that windfall all into that mortgage loan and pay off that mortgage loan at 3%, you've just earned 3%. Now you could say, okay, tax adjusted, because, and it's, maybe it's even lower because you're not getting the tax benefit. But anyway, let's just call it 3%. Terrible use of that money. Why would, and in fact, inflation in 2023 is running around 5%. That's a negative return, negative 2%. So what I like to ask my clients is what's the use of that credit and what's the use of the debt? Because, and I'm not saying to do this, but in 2008, late 2008, I was working at Citi as a hedge fund manager. And one of my colleagues came into my office when it was, the market had done really poorly that year. If you remember, Randy, the market was down 40%, financial stocks were down 57%. And it was towards the end of the year and things were looking really bleak. And the government had done a lot of things like banned short selling. It had done a lot of different things. The Federal Reserve had cut interest rates dramatically, and yet the market was still going down. And one of my colleagues came to me and said, you know, things look really bleak. I'm about to buy a bunch of stocks on margin. I'm going to borrow from my credit cards. And I was like, whoa. He said, look, you know, it's kind of binary right now. Either the world's ending or we're going to rebound and I'm going to make a ton of money. He used a different word, but I'm going to make a ton of money. And so I said, okay. So he was borrowing from his credit cards at 25% annual rate. Within 1 year, he had sold all his stocks and made over 90%. So is that a good use of a 25% borrow? Absolutely. He netted almost 75%. Return in less than a year, annualized 75%, call it. So I'm not saying to go out and borrow on your credit cards to invest, but what I am saying is to look at the use of the proceeds of the borrowings. And so if you can, like I know some other people in that are in my network have borrowed from their home equity loan in the last few years to invest in the stock market and made very good returns and then paid off their home equity loan. That was, again, their home equity loan, you know, 3 years ago was like 2%. So they were borrowing at 2% and investing in stocks making 10, 15, 30%. So that was, again, a very, and then they paid off their, they paid it back. So what is the interest rate on your loan, on the credit, and what is the earnings rate you're going to get with that money? And I'm not saying go to your credit card to borrow to fund your next vacation, because that's negative 25%. There's no return. I mean, a great experience, yes, but there's no monetary return on that vacation. So those are the two main points I want to get across in that chapter in rule number seven. You know, where's my cash going? Is one is budgeting. Knowing where your cash is going is the first step to creating abundance and prosperity in your life. If you don't know where the cash is going, you're planning to fail. And the second is to know what the interest rate is on all those borrowings. One woman came to me recently and said, you know, I'm deeply in debt. I said, tell me. She said, you know, I graduated from college just 6 years ago, and they've been allowing us to defer some of that loans. And so I have massive student loan debt. I said, what's massive? She said, $50,000. I said, what's the rate? She said, I don't know. I said, well, that's more important than the $50,000. Let's go check it out. And she came back to me and she said it was 4.5%. So that's not that bad a rate in this environment right now. And so, like, don't pay that off. Keep it out there, because there are other uses of that $50,000 that I think you're going to get a much better return on. If you pay it off, you just earn 4.5%. And know that, you know, we talked about earlier, some people who say, oh, I don't want to borrow any money, like, debt is bad. But the other point I wanted to make is debt is not bad on its own merits. It's what are you using? Are you borrowing to go on a vacation, or are you borrowing to invest in an asset to get a better return than you're borrowing at? And by the way, almost everyone in the US is borrowing money to buy a home. I don't know too many people who put 100% down to buy, you know, the average home, I think, is now as high as like 350, 400,000. So I don't know too many people who are putting 350 or 400,000 down cash to buy a home. So they're borrowing, you know, say it's 400,000 and they're putting 20% down, that's 80,000. They're borrowing $320,000. That is debt. Right. And so you can't tell me, oh, that's bad. Well, you just borrowed 320,000. to buy a house, which, by the way, it's not an asset. It's a liability because you're not getting any income. You're not getting any cash flow from it. So you just is, you know, and you could argue, okay, well, I'm going to sell it, you know, 10 or 20 years from now and make a profit, probably. But again, not guaranteed. And I actually calculate, this is an interesting calculation. So my parents bought their house for $37,000. $37,000 in 1968. We sold the house in 2022. So it was 54 years later for $640,000. That sounds like a great return from 38 to 640, over $600,000 gain. But if you calculate the compound annual growth rate or the average return per year, it came out to 4.7%. And that doesn't include the improvements they did to on the kitchen, on the backyard, you know, adding a deck and so on. So that return is probably closer to 4%. So not a great return per annum, per year on that. But the point being, like, they borrowed money. They didn't, at the time in 1968, my parents didn't have the 38,000. So I probably borrowed 34,000, 35,000 and put 10% down. And that was, you know, a good use. You know, maybe you could argue, was it a really great use? They got a 4% return. Not great, but they did get some return, and they borrowed the money for that.
Okay, welcome back to rule number 7 is, where is my cash going? So hopefully you found this message super valuable. The idea of being able to take control of your personal finances. Where is your money actually going? Joel shared a ton of ideas, a great message, some things that you can implement right away to start taking back control of your personal financial situation. So what are your key takeaways? What are some of the things that you can implement right away? I would take some time, pause this video, pause the course at this point, and really jot down some of the areas of your life of where you can really start taking back control. And as soon as you do that, you're going to be well on your way to this personal goal for yourself as financial freedom, which is the ultimate goal that we're all striving for. So hopefully you found this message valuable, and let's move on into rule number 8, which talks all about DIY investing, doing it yourself. Joel advocates doing it yourself, and we're going to get into what he means and why he thinks that that's so important. So let's move into rule number 8.